Good morning.
Good morning.
I invite everyone to be seated, and we'll get ready with our worship, get started with our worship service. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday in November, and I looked at the calendar and I thought, where has this year gone? I'm not real sure I've accomplished anything this year. Think about that today. What have you accomplished? We've got two months left to do something. Announcements. Do we have any announcements this morning? And while have the registration has been passed out, if not, someone please do that. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Do we have other announcements? Yes, ma'am.
Invited people, gave them another golden opportunity, or maybe a silver opportunity, to participate in the worship experience with a little reading. And I think I gave out 9, but I'm not sure. Who would you read? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
There.
8. I need one more. 9. We got it. No. I need you. I was looking to see if I had to. Nobody. They're not standing in line waiting.
Okay. Do we have any other announcements? If not, we'll go to our prayer and praise request. I invite you to write those on a card that you find in the pew rack so that we'll get all the names spelled correctly. Mike. Do we have other prayer requests? Prayer praise? Melanie?
Lily Tyler, her mom,
Do we have others?
The list. There's many names on our prayer list. At the bottom of the middle one is Sharon Gardner. Sharon is not improving as she wants to. Also, at the bottom of the other list, from Scott and Kelly Barnes, the baby was born early Monday morning by C-section. Family of Jim Covington, that's a Reverend Hubert Covington's son, passed away last week and was the funeral. Dot Bowers, a friend's mother, our mother-in-law, and she needs some, had a little stroke or a big stroke, is there a little stroke? Ron Lowe is a friend, not doing real good at all, and Mr. Gene Samples is having a tough time, worse than normal for him. So lift him up, and Dot too. And also, Nicole Stout, and lift her up with a special prayer this morning. There are others, not to overlook them, but these kind of jump out at me.
Susan? Do we have any others?
Yes.
Coming home. They're coming home.
They're traveling, I believe, even now. They ride tomorrow evening. They ride over to
Well, we'll. Yes, we certainly will.
I'm going to be going back to South America on January the 20th, so pray for that.
If there are no other prayer requests, let us hold these in our hearts and in our minds and utter their names in prayer. And let us pause right now for a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for the worship of God. Amen. And we welcome Jesus, the light of the world, as we light our candles. Our call to worship comes from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Please follow along with me. With what shall we come before the Holy One and bow ourselves before God on high? God has shown us what is good. What does the Holy One require of us? To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God.
Let's all stand now, turning our hymnals to hymn 10. Oh, worship the King. Oh, worship the King.
bow with me for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today. And we know you in so many ways, O Lord. We know you as Maker. We know you as Redeemer. We know you as Defender. We know you as our shield. Lord, we thank you for this songwriter, Mr. Grant, who put it in such beautiful words, and the person who said it to such beautiful music, to enable us, O Lord, to come and offer praise to you through song. And Lord, help us not only to know the words that reveal your attributes, but help us to know, O Lord, you personally, as each of these attributes become meaningful in our own lives. Lord, we know that this is just the beginning of who you are and what you are. And Lord, we just thank you that we can be your people and you can be our God. Words cannot describe that we have who you are and all that you are, but thank you for the privilege of making an effort. Lord, as we have assembled this morning, we pray for each aspect of this service. One, we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, but also we pray that we can speak to you and bring glory to your name as we offer our praise and adoration through song, through giving, through the hearing of your word and through the proclaiming of your word and through responding according to your holy word. Thank you, and we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put into words that which we believe through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever.
May be seated. Our call to confession is taken today from Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children, gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Most merciful God, We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. And we have that assurance of forgiveness from God, taken from Psalms chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Sam?
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 354. Hope everyone's a little bit more awake now than the 8 o'clock crew was, but we shall see. This is a song worth smiling about, okay? So I'd like to see a few smiles out there. Don't make me stop in the middle.
Oh,
Bravo. You know, every seat out there should be filled to have a choir like this. There's not many big churches in Murfreesboro that I know of that have a choir like this. At this time, I invite all the boys and girls to come down and join me.
Thank you.
Reverend Tommy Job was not preaching today anywhere else, so I invited him to serve the sacrament or administer the sacrament. And you will come when he calls you, but I'd like for these elders to come and assist when he calls you here. It would be Pete Franciscan, Gary Bomar, Bud Sharpton, Jamie Gross, Diane Riggs, and Ruth Bowers. If y'all will come when Tommy calls you. Tommy, thank you.
There are many people unhappy this morning. There are a lot of people that despise themselves. There are people that are angry with others. And perhaps the thing that we would like more than anything else, all of us, is to have peace in our hearts. Where does peace come from? How do we have peace with ourselves, peace with one another, and peace with God? It isn't until we realize that God truly cares for us, that others care for us, enough to give so that that peace can come. God loves us. You know that. He loves us so much that He gave His Son for us. I hope you realize that with the depth of your heart this morning. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Jesus showed us the depth of His love, because He went all the way to the cross to die for us. So we're here this morning to do it His way. And His way was to remember Him like this: that when you eat together, take these elements, bread, the fruit of the vine, and remember me. Hear the word of God from Luke chapter 22. The day of unleavened bread came. The day of the Passover lamb was butchered. Jesus sent Peter and John off saying, "Go prepare Passover for us so that we can eat together." And they said, "What do you want us to do this?" And he said, "Keep your eyes open as you enter the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him home. And then speak with the owner of the house. The teacher wants to know where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples. And he will show you a spacious second story room, swept and ready. Prepare the meal there." They found everything just as he told them, and prepared the Passover meal. When the time came, he sat down all the disciples with him and said, "You've no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last time I'll eat it until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it and said, "Take this, pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking bread, he blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood." Blood, poured out for you. In your bulletin insert, would you find the responsive reading as a meditation in preparation for the Lord's meal? It was written by Josiah Court Conder many, many years ago. Bread of heaven, on thee we feed.
For thy flesh is meat and meat.
Ever may our souls be fed
with this true and living bread.
Day by day with strength supplied
through the life of him who died.
Vine of heaven, thy blood supplies
this blessed cup of sacrifice.
Lord, thy wounds our healing give.
To thy cross we look and live.
Jesus, may we ever be
rooted,
with the elders come. Let us pray. Bread of heaven, come to us as we partake of your body. Vine of the true vine, entwine thyself around us that we might know your new covenant for us. Drink of your blood, the energy of your spirit, and so be sustained to honor you in the world through Christ. Amen. As they ate their meal, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body for you." O God, as we gather the grain together to make the loaf, then we partake of it and go our separate ways. We are so transformed to be your body in the world. So feed us through Christ. Amen. And he took the cup and said, "This is a new covenant I give to you, sealed with my blood." O Paschal Lamb, pour out upon us your presence in the fruit of the vine, so that we too might be a branch of your vine. Amen. As the bread is passed, would you take a portion and eat, remembering Christ? Take a cup and sup. This is the blood of Christ for you.
Wine, in remembrance of me.
Peace of Christ be with you all.
Thank you, Reverend Joe. Our offertory sentence today is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. I ask that the ushers come forward to take our tithes and offerings. Before we begin our scripture reading, I have to tell Melanie something. She talked about that boys and girls aren't taught patriotic songs very much in school anymore. My school must be an exception. You know, Saturday is Veterans Day, and we always have a special program at my school in Murfreesboro, Mutual Milton Elementary. We're having it Friday morning this year, and it's school-wide, and we have guests that come in, and we'll have a little boy in the third grade, and he's a hoot, little black boy. He came in the other morning. He said, "Miss Mary Jo, I want to sing at Veterans Day." I said, "You do?" He's about this tall, and he says, "Well," I said, "well, what do you want to sing, Quantavious?" And he says, "I want to sing the Star Spangled Banner." And my principal walked up about that time, and he said, "Well, I don't know. We'll have to see, because we have a guest singer coming in." I said, "Well, Quantavious, sing it for me." And that little fella put his book bag down and threw his head back and sang every word of the Star Spangled Banner and put the falsettos in there and held his voice, and I clapped him. So little boys still sing the Star Spangled Banner, at least where I am. And that's a good thing. Our scripture selection today is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Please read along with me in the bulletin or in your Bible. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as in sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man that many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Brother Lane.
I'll call the readers forth at a particular time, so if you will be ready and bring your little paper with you, if you will, then. We have some guests. I'm not sure. Did we recognize them? In the middle is Heath Harper. He is a candidate for the ministry, or a licentiate from somewhere in Kentucky, living in West Tennessee now. And his wife, Melody. And Melody was a sorority sister and allowed Susan to stay at her apartment in Memphis all the time she was going to seminary for 2 years. Is that right? Something like that. So we owe a debt to Melody, I think, or somebody does, for that. This sermon might be called, I want to talk about help for the helpless. Somebody says good preaching starts with telling people what you're going to tell them. I'm going to tell you about help for the helpless. I'm going to tell you that you're helpless, okay? And then help for you who are helpless. It might be called the fall and rise of God's creation. That may be another title for it. And then, let me tell you first, Kathleen, it has nothing to do with the sermon, but Kathleen Wagner had a tough week, and she is at home now and spent a few hours in the hospital, but just lift up Miss Kathleen. And she is probably feels helpless right now. Her Parkinson is not acting as we wish it would. It is taking its toll on Miss Kathleen. So lift up her and the family. And new grandbaby and all like that. A lot of things are happening at that place or in that family. The choir sang, I think, "It is well with my soul." And I don't know why, but you were touched. I was touched. You know, I even lifted my hands. Did you notice? That's uncomfortable for me, even though. But I felt that was the right thing to do, and I felt touched. Thank you. It is well with our soul, or hopefully, it is well with yours. It had to be well with some of those choir members' souls, or they couldn't have sung like that. And it touched us. Touched all of us, I think. If somebody whose soul things are not well with, maybe this sermon will be a help to make it well with your soul. But it is well with my soul, but it hasn't always been so. It hasn't always been so. And in fact, it was as bad as it could get. It just couldn't get any worse than it once was with mankind, or mankind's situation. The human situation, if you follow your outline, I say helpless. You ever felt helpless? The human situation, people felt that it was a helpless situation. Sometimes we may feel that way now. The human situation was a hopeless situation. The people, the humans, were lost and undone, to use or borrow three phrases. Don Schultz is a Lutheran pastor. He describes our situation, so allow me to use his words to kind of tell you how bad it was. Imagine being at home one day and you're having a big party. Had a little party here yesterday. And this big party, or this big family friend get together. And while you're gathered together, the package man comes. And I don't care which one it was, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, DHL, or
American Express. Are there others? I think Roadway. Sam slipped out. He's heard this once, and about once is all you can stand him, though. Roadway, the Roadway man. The delivery people, the package delivery people, they arrive at your door. Why would they have to come while you're having a party? But they don't know that you're having a party, so they come and they deliver your package. And on the package, you receive it, and written on it is the word anthrax. Do I have to tell you the danger of anthrax? When it was going, when letters were coming in with powder in them in Congress a few years ago, people got awfully scared, didn't they? They were frightened. It says, anthrax, do not open. But you got to see what's in it. You got to see what anthrax looks like. And this tape is so good. So you begin to tear at the package covering. And you tear it away, and that piece of tape, you know how it is, it just won't come loose. And you break it, and when you break it, it just kind of, everything explodes, kind of. And there you are. And you have struggled to open it, but you didn't want to open it that way, but it happens anyway. The package burst open, kind of, and anthrax is everywhere. All of your family, they've come for your gathering, your celebration, and they're there. And your friends. And you have been so stupid that you killed them all. Right. You opened the package that said anthrax, do not open, but you had to open it. That's something I might do. You wouldn't do that, would you? I would be that stupid. And whose fault is it that they inhale and begin to have symptoms on the way to death? There is an antidote if you get it in time. But they're dying. But whose fault is it? If I'm the one that opens that package, it's my fault. They were only looking on. I said, leave me alone. Let me open it. I know how to do this. Adam sinned. Adam sinned. It was thousands of years ago, but it was still a bad sin. And it was as though he had opened a package that he shouldn't have opened. He ate a fruit that he should not have eaten. Or opened a package that he should not have opened. He disobeyed God's word. Sin entered his body. Sin didn't only enter his body, it entered the body of the whole world, though they were the only two at that time. And it affected everything and everybody that would come after Adam and Eve. Down through the generations, billions and billions of people, we have all been affected by that one moment in the Garden of Eden. Spiritual anthrax, if you will, or sin. Sin entered the world through Adam. And it's lethal. It's deadly. Results in death. Sin results in death. Because of what Adam did, our world has become a big spiritual ground zero. That is, in the eyes of God. And if we've got any vision like God in our own eyes. From the moment, or from that moment down through the ages, even today, people are born with the problem of sin. Test yourself, if you will, to see if you are guilty of sin. It's a simple little test. Would you like to join me? Thank you. Ask yourself, have I made any mistakes this week, this past week? Well, if we get by last week, what about the week before? Have I been selfish? Even for a moment? Have I had any unkind thoughts? Pretty simple test. But if we're honest and answer yes to the question, and I'm guessing that all of us would have to answer yes to these questions, then you and I have been infected with the deadly disease of sin. But physical death is the least of our problems. If you look at your scripture lesson, it's printed, or if you're following the Bible, verse 18 tells us the result of one trespass, that trespass of Adam, or that sin of Adam. Where do we get our, forgive us our trespasses? You have to go to Romans to find it. Or some versions of the scripture, but or the Book of Common Worship. One trespass, the result of it was condemnation for everybody. For me. And for you. Adam sinned. And when he sinned, he not only brought sin and physical death into the world, he also brought condemnation. What happens after a person dies? We are told that condemnation is what happens. We're condemned. And condemnation, or being condemned, means hell or eternal punishment because of our sin. Now, how did things get this way? Well, Adam did it. If you'll follow that scripture lesson, starting with verse 12, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all have sinned. You know, we've joined in with Adam. We've done the forbidden. We have eaten of the forbidden fruit. Verse 16b, the second phrase of that, judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. Move to verse 18. Just as the result of one trespass or one sin was condemnation for all men. Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of one, the many were made sinners. How did it all happen? Adam did it. Actually, Eve urged him on. He should have been smart enough to say no. But he wasn't. He readily joined in. Church names. I like to drive around the community. When I go to a town, people that work in hospitals go see the hospital. Right? People that work in trucking companies go see the trucking company, I guess. Or people that build buildings go see the new buildings that are being built. Had a friend to come visit once and just had to take him out to show him that bridge over Highway 96 West. And he built buildings and whatever all his life, and he stood back and said, never seen anything like it. You know, the Natchez Trace, that really funny thing. But it works, doesn't it? But I drive around and look at church names. We found a church up in North Arkansas once, I think I've mentioned it before, it said Opposition Church of blank. Opposition. They must have been against everything, I guess, or maybe they had a particular thing they were against. I don't know. But some of them. Every once in a while you'll find a church named New Hope. Probably every community has a church called New Hope Church. The closest one I can think of here is on Wilson Pike, that north of Concord Road. Is that the New Hope Church there? Thriving church now. Some of our people went over there. That's okay. Saw them the other day and said, how are things at New Hope? They said, we done moved on somewhere else though. So that's okay. They needed them over there for a while. Or they needed New Hope Church. I'm not sure which, but that's okay. New Hope. And then every once in a while you'll find a church somewhere along the way that says Little Hope. Little Hope Church. They don't have much hope, but they have some hope. You've seen that. You know where that is? Is there one down around Lawrenceburg or somewhere like that? Of course, that Little Hope. And then there's some churches. No, they wouldn't put this on. You've never seen a church named No Hope, have you? But that's the condition that people found themselves in. No hope. There was no hope. Not only do I like church names, I like country songs. And before we get to country songs, I'd like for my team of readers to come forward because time runs away and y'all going to want to go eat and let my readers come forward. And whoever's over here is 1 and whoever's over here is 9. and seven on this go-round is Satan. So if you don't want to be Satan, don't be number seven. So one, two, on down. Who wants to be Satan? Just line up and face the way. Okay.
Spread out here and
face the way. Who's going to be Satan? One, two, three, four, five, six. You going to be Satan? You want to be Satan? Whoever. Okay. Oh, this is 7, 8, 9. Okay. Okay, there we go. Okay, let's go. One, and do just as it says. One, and read on down.
Did it say stop?
Okay, stop. Hold it right there just a moment. I won't let you go back and come back. We'll move on. That's our condition. Death for creation. Hopeless. Helpless. But the country songs, "What Am I Like Is God Is Not Through With Me Yet." It's a hopeless situation, but God is not through with me yet. That's a bumper sticker. Country song is, "I'm just an old lump of coal." You know what coal you do with coal? You don't wear it on your finger. You throw it in the fire to heat with, right? "I'm just an old lump of coal, but I'm going to be a diamond someday. Shine like a star." So, though the situation is hopeless for mankind, God wasn't through with creation yet. And He sent His Son, Jesus. Make a note, if you will. Jesus came. From the beginning, God reached out to draw men back to Himself. He did it by law. He did it by sacrifice, moved by faith, or offered in faith. He did it through the prophets. He did it through His divine providence. He even used tragedies to draw people back unto Himself. All the while doing it in love. And God's final act was to reconcile us and restore us unto Himself through Jesus Christ. So He sent Jesus, who took upon Himself on the cross the guilt and the punishment for all of our sins, all of our disobedience, all of our irritations with our neighbor or our family. Jesus died for us, but God raised Him to new life, demonstrating His triumph over sin and death. Jesus came and died to pay the penalty for our sin. Number 522 in our hymnal, we're not going to sing it, but I just want to call it to your name. I think it's "He Lifted Me." Charles Gabriel wrote this. He wrote a lot of good songs. "He lifted me from sinking sand. He lifted me. By His own hand, He
lifted me. I'd just like to read just a portion of